as our angel choir is coming up here today, would you please take your insert from your bulletin, and on one side it says, Sing Thanks to God. This is a song that the children are going to sing, and then following that, I want the entire congregation to sing it along with the children. So don't let them get back too far. Keep them up front near the mics.
I didn't want anybody behind the pulpit.
They need to be up near the mics. So just have that and be ready. And when they finish singing, then I'll lead you in singing the rest, singing it again.
Well, but when you receive power from the Holy Spirit that has come upon you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we have come to worship you today on this beautiful day. We have come to share our love for you, to raise your name above every name, to make you the focus of the beginning of our week, that you will be the focus of all our week, to share with you wherein we know we have failed, to remind ourselves as we confess to you those areas where we were weak, those areas where we need your extra grace and your extra mercy, to also come and give to you those places in our life as part of our praise where we know you strengthened us, where you gave us the victory, where you encouraged us, and we were encouraged indeed. And so, Lord, we've come to praise you for all of your goodness, to share with you how much we love you, and to allow you, O God, to be our God, not only in our worship, but in all our days. It is in the strong name of Jesus that we sing thanks to you, O God.
Continue our worship by singing hymn number 604, Come All Christians, Be Committed. Let's stand as we sing.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for all the blessings that you have given us, Father. And as we gather here today to hear your word and to sing your praises, Father, we ask that today might not be the only day we sing your praises. We may do it each and every day as we go forward. Father, we ask that you bless these tithes and these offerings to further thy kingdom. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
welcome today. I really enjoyed the singing, those of you who sang. God does give us everything good, doesn't he? Good job. I have something to give out today. Let's start right here. I'm going to give you two goldfish. I don't eat it, okay, till I tell you. Two goldfish. Help me now, reach over. Come here, Max Andrew.
Give me three.
Oh, thank you. My goodness. Uh-oh. I don't have any more. We have a problem, don't we? Oh, there's one. We have a problem, don't we? What are we going to do? That's not good, is it? What are we going to do? How can we fix our problem? Some of you have two and some of you have none. Share. Would you be willing to give one of your fish away? Okay, let's do. Find somebody who doesn't have, if you're willing, to share. Here's one. Who doesn't have one? Pass them back. Okay. We do that? All right. That's nice of you to share. That's wonderful. That is so nice of you to share. How did it feel when you didn't have one? Didn't feel too good, did it? How did it feel when you wanted to share? Make you feel good? Thumbs up, wasn't it? That's right. That's wonderful of you guys to share. Sometimes, too, we have more than we need. And we certainly need to share, don't we? I know sometimes we have more food than we need, and we share with people who need our food, don't we? Do you want others to share with you?
Yes.
Yes. Do brothers and sisters have a hard time with that sometimes?
Yep.
Yes, they do. We should share, especially with our brothers and sisters. That's right. We have a hard time with it, but God wants us to do that. Let's read some scripture and see what Jesus said. I'm going to read from Matthew 7, verse 12. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Did you understand what I said? In everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. I know you've heard that before. You wanted a fish, didn't you, if you didn't have one? So if somebody else doesn't have one, what do you need to do?
Share.
That's exactly right. Let's think about what God gives us. God gives us his love freely, doesn't he? It's free. We don't have to pay anything. He gives it to us. He paid the price. He died on the cross. When we have God's love, we have a choice. We have two choices. When we have God's love, we can keep it for ourselves, or we can choose to share God's love with others. And as you share God's love, like you shared your goldfish, the more you get in return. Because before you leave, I'm going to give you a little pack of goldfish. And it's got more than two in it. How about that? You see, that's the way God's love is. The more you share it, the more you will get in return. So today, as you enjoy your goldfish this morning, I hope that you will share. And I hope you will think about sharing God's love. Okay? Think about that today. All right, let's have a quick prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for beautiful boys and girls. Thank you for allowing them to come and their parents to bring them today. We ask that you keep your love in their hearts and give them the desire to share it with others. In thy name we pray. Amen. Okay, so come by here. And I'm going to give you a bag of goldfish. And don't drop it on the floor and make a mess now, because I'll be in trouble. And share if you can't. We'll have to clean it up, won't we? I'll go get the vacuum cleaner.
All right. As the children are sharing the goldfish, let's get your insert out of your bulletin again. And on the opposite side is a song called Shine On Us. Let's stand as we sing, please.
We are delighted that you're here. We're always delighted when our children sing and our crowd's bigger. I'm thinking they ought to sing every Sunday. That's my plan. But they did a great job this morning as well. What a beautiful song, Shine On Us. We have two groups that are gone this morning, and it's good to see this good crowd here anyway. But we have our youth are coming back from their winter retreat, and we have a group of eight ladies that are gone on a retreat to Caswell this weekend. So we have more that are worshiping at this time, but not just here in our facility with us. And so we are grateful for that as well, and we want to keep them in our prayers as they travel today. Hope you'll look at the prayer concerns. Especially would like to mention that Ashton McElvain will be having surgery tomorrow. We want to be remembering her in our prayers as they do a procedure there that we think will facilitate great healing in her, and we're going to be keeping her in our prayers. They will be running some tests to see what might need to be done after that, but we just want to keep her lifted up in our prayers. Hope you'll see all those names that are mentioned there. Pray with me. God, each time we bow to pray, you impress upon us people because you love people. And so when we lift these prayer concerns, we simply join you in your concern. And we are grateful for your love. We are grateful for your power that sustains us even in our times of weakness. We are grateful that you are the God of healing because we live in frail bodies that are prone to disease. We are grateful that when we face the darkest hours of grief, that we hear our Lord say, after I leave, I will send the Comforter to you. And we find comfort in the power of your Holy Spirit. God, you know every need. You know every situation. You know our situation. You know, oh God, what we might do with you today, what we might say to you, what we might confess to you, what we might commit to you that would change not only the rest of this day, but the rest of our lives. You, God, can change hearts and change minds. You, God, when we will allow you to, you can change family and you can change friends. Oh God, when we allow you, you can change our circumstance and our situation. And Lord, the way you do all of that is not by changing all of those, but most often, oh God, it's by changing us. And so, oh God, we pray for your change in us, that we might be more the people you would have us to be, that we might love you as you created us to do. In Christ's name we ask. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Doesn't it look good to see that choir all full like that, too? Appreciate their faithfulness in so many ways as we are even now preparing for Easter. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to be reading verses 7 through 11. If you're able, let me invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word as we read 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. May God add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, could you give us what we need that we might give you what you deserve? In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We have, for the last several weeks, been looking at habits of disciples. We have mentioned that almost 200 times we're called to be disciples in the New Testament, and only 3 times are we called Christian. A habit. The habit of a good steward. I got to thinking about it. The only place I've ever heard of stewards and stewardesses is on an airplane. And I got to thinking, you know, and somebody's probably going to spend the rest of the sermon figuring this out. That'll be all right. At least you won't go to sleep today. I assume that a steward only has about 10% of the airplane. The aisle. That's all they got. And yet, from the aisle, they serve everybody. Now, if you're in first class, you get a little better service than that. But everybody, you've seen those big things that take up the whole aisle that's got that little bit of Coca-Cola and those little bag of peanuts. But yet, they go to everyone, give everyone on the plane a smile from their 10%. So maybe a steward, good. I shared with the Wednesday night congregation that I remember when Charles Howard, who was one of the great men of God in North Carolina, most famously known in Campbell, he and his wife, in the first year of their marriage, hocked her wedding band provide money for the first young man who was trying to go and become a minister that he might attend Campbell. And Charles Howard gave his life to providing funds for folks to go and get an education in Christian ministry. And I had the privilege of Charles preaching the last sermon 3 weeks before he died at the church I pastored in Irwin, North Carolina. And I remember when Charles stood And he preached for 45 minutes that Sunday morning, but it didn't seem that long. But I remember when he came to one point that I've always remembered, and he did it in such a way that it felt as though God himself were saying it. It didn't seem self-serving at all, but if you knew Charles Howard, you knew that's how Charles was. But I remember when Charles said, the first tithe, the first 10% one gives, is not nearly as sweet as the second tithe. And the second tithe can't compare to the third. And the third pales in comparison to the fourth. And the fifth. And the sixth. And the seventh. Charles had given all he had to the Lord, literally, with his life, with his money, with his resources, and with his spirit. A steward. The definition simply says it's one who manages another's property or financial affairs. One who administers anything as the agent of another or of others. Who are you a steward of? Who am I a steward of today? Well, we're in church, so we know the right answer, don't we? We're all stewards of God. And we are. We are. But the question is, are we a good steward? Are we as faithful as we possibly can be? He gives us three truths that I want us to examine for just a moment today. For you see, the biggest adjustment you and I could make is if we realize we are stewards and not owners. We are stewards and not owners. One big lie the world has told us is that we're owners. That word, mine. I can hear it coming from a two-year-old's mouth. Can you hear a two-year-old saying, mine? I mean, they are letting you know where the boundaries are. Our human nature starts off wanting us to be owners. And yet, we're just stewards. Stewards of all that we have. And you know what? Stewards of these bodies in which we now live. Just stewards, caretakers, managing someone else's property. And the first truth of a good steward needs to understand how Peter starts this passage, this prayer. He says, the end of all things is at hand. A little boy once asked his grandmama, he says, Grandmama, were you on the ark? Of course not, she replied. He said, how come you didn't drown? He figured she had to be that old. Noah, remember him? I understand I'm supposed to bring stuffed animals tonight to Awana. How'd you like the way I worked that in? We remember Noah. But Noah's gone. His stewardship of his body's over. Methuselah, remember him in Genesis? Lived almost 1,000 years. But his stewardship's over now with his body. And he's gone to be with the owner. He's gone to be with the owner. Why do we bury our dead in that cemetery? To remind ourselves when we ride by that those we loved and have faith in the Lord have gone to be with the owner. Their stewardship is over on this earth. Stewardship is directly tied to our timetable. We don't usually like to think about limited time. We just think we're bulletproof. And we have all the time in the world. I bet each of us today have some things we're planning to do. We just haven't gotten around to it yet. You've seen those, you get them in the mountains, those little round to-its. And they say, now you can get around to it. We've got things we'd like to do, things we plan to do, things we wish to do, we hope to do, we want to do. The question is, are we good stewards? Have we developed the habit as a disciple of Jesus Christ to do the best with what God has entrusted to us? Our body, our mind, our spirit, and the resources that we're able to gather from that. You see, I'm convinced that many of us believe that there's going to be a time we're going to get around to loving better and serving better and doing more. We all want the church to be all it can be, and one day we're going to get around to making sure we invest everything we can to make the church, to make our witness all it can be. But that's Satan's big lie. You're going to get around to it. Just not today. Stewardship is directly tied not only to our timetable, but also to our expectations. We all want a return on our investment. That's why we invest in the market. That's why we invest in retirement programs. That's why we try to do what we can in order to make sure that in the long run we've got all we need. There's wisdom in that. Let me ask us this question. What is a reasonable return on the investment we make as a steward of God's? I love the old story about the preacher and his son. Back in the day when the preacher would get his pay through a box in the vestibule and folks would drop money in. He was a visiting preacher and they had asked him to come, and he'd been coming for about 3 weeks. And this last Sunday that he was going to be preaching there, he asked his young son to come with him and to show his son a lesson. When he got there, he took a dollar, a brand spanking new dollar bill, and he dropped it in the offering box for the preacher. Well, he went ahead and preached that morning, and at the end of the day, they gave the preacher the key to the box. And after everyone had left, he and his son went back, and they unlocked the box, and they opened it up, and he reached in, and he pulled out $1. $1. And there was his son. And the look on the preacher's face, you should have seen the look on the preacher's face. But his daddy had a moment. The son had a moment from God. He looked at his dad and he said, "Dad, if you'd have put more in, you could have taken more out." Makes sense, doesn't it? How are we investing in God? What are we getting back from God? What are we putting into God? Yeah, that's how it works. That's really, really how it works. I think that's what, when Peter goes on in this passage and tells us to live self-controlled, sober-minded for the sake of our prayers, he understands that folks who are living in the last, who understand what they're about, live differently. Living in the last. Then he says in verse 8 to love one another earnestly. I thought that was great when Martha asked about sharing in brothers and sisters. We love, but do we love earnestly? Stewardship that is not motivated by love will be weak. That may be the most important thing I say in this sermon today. It doesn't sound really cool, does it? But let me say it again. Stewardship that is not motivated by love will be weak. In fact, I'm not even sure it's stewardship at all. We've crossed a tremendous barrier the world sets to keep disciples from all that God has in store for us, when we begin to really understand that how we give our time and how we give our talent and how we give of ourselves is exactly how our relationship with God will be. Do we rise up each day and say, Lord, this is your day? You probably have heard this little silly story about the prayer that starts, Lord, so far today I'm doing fine. I haven't gossiped about anyone. I haven't said a mean word to a friend or a family member. I haven't been unkind to a single person. I haven't told a lie. I haven't even stretched the truth, not once today. I haven't thought a hateful thought or entertained a lustful idea. I haven't said a profane word. I haven't hurt a single person all day today. But Lord, in just a moment, the alarm clock's going to go off and I'm going to get up. And I'm going to need your help the rest of the day. It's true, isn't it? Each day we start afresh. And it may be that critical moment. It may be in those first 3 or 4 minutes. And I know some of us aren't morning people. But it may be in that very beginning how we decide how the day will be spent. How we decide what kind of steward, what kind of disciple we're going to be. That may be that moment. Stewardship that is motivated by love, loving earnestly, will become joy. Why we give is just as important as what we give, or how much we give, or when we give. The scriptures teach that God loves a cheerful giver. Listen to this. This may be the second most important thing I'm about to say. If we're not enjoying our faith walk as a steward, then something's wrong. Something's wrong. Do you ever feel like maybe you come to church and you know God's all around you? You heard Him when the children sang. You heard Him when the choir sang. You felt it when we were praying. And God was beginning to say those things that maybe we didn't really want to hear, or maybe we kind of wanted to hear, but we were afraid to make those adjustments, to make those changes. Because what I've discovered about me, I don't know about you, but I've discovered that sometimes I can come in the midst of worship and sit right through it. And enjoy it. Enjoy the worship. I can literally tell the worship leaders, I enjoyed your music. I enjoyed your message. I enjoyed what you did today. And walk out. But never, never allowed God to make those adjustments. I just didn't do it. Love earnestly. If we're not enjoying our faith walk as stewards, then something's wrong. Henry Emerson Fosdick said, some people have just enough religion to make them miserable. Begrudgingly given is not one who loves the Lord with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. The Lord loves a cheerful giver because the Lord loves the giver. And what you find is you don't give in order to be cheerful, but when you are in love with God, when you love the Lord your God, what you give. And when I say give, I'm talking about your prayer time. What kind of steward are we? When I say give, I'm talking about our service to others. Oh, if all of the churches throughout the land were to understand the dire straits that our country faces, and we were all to become servants of our Lord with our full energy, instead of what we have left over after we have tried to be in this world, then this world would be different. But until we do, don't be surprised at whatever you might see on the news. Because God has a plan. He has a plan for us. He has a plan for our community. He has a plan for our town and our county and our state and our nation. And he has a plan for our world. But it involves good stewards. Finally, this morning, we are to be learning how to glorify God. Look at what he says. If you receive a gift, use it for another. As good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever speaks, speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves, serves in the strength of God. In everything that God may be glorified through Christ Jesus. What is he saying? He's saying, learn that all that you do is to glorify God. A survey a few years ago discovered that 70% of Americans said they prayed every day. You pray every day? But one named Albert Mohler made this observation. And stay with me. Hear what he said. I think it's profound. The impression left by the total package is of a nation that increasingly embraces soft and self-centered forms of spirituality, even as it rejects more demanding forms of belief. A nation that embraces soft and self-centered forms of spirituality, even as it rejects more demanding forms of belief. He goes on to say, they see spirituality as a means of self-development. They want to get in touch with the universe and with their inner selves, but are not particularly concerned to know the Creator and what the Creator would demand of them. Sometimes that sounds like me. If we are to be those learning disciples, then we must learn that we have an attitude of hospitality, that our talents, our gifts, and our service are all to learn to glorify God. How do you glorify God on Mondays? I know how you do it on Sunday. You come here. And I'm so glad you do. I am so glad you do. But how about Monday? How about Monday when your coworker's late and puts you in a bind? How about when the person you thought would do, they just didn't do? How do we understand that even in those difficult moments, we're called to glorify God, to learn to glorify God? We're learning to glorify God. I love what Randy said in his prayer, that we shouldn't just sing your praises today, but all the week. He's right. When we recognize that all that we have belongs to God, it changes how we use everything. And it's all to be to His glory. That's what Peter teaches us. And what he really, in this little simple verse, whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He gets it. And what He gets is so important, and yet it's so easy to overlook it. It's so easy to read that verse and say, you said there's some great truth in there, preacher. I didn't see it. What in the world are you talking about? I'm glad you asked. What I'm talking about is that you were created to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength. And you'll never know true joy until you know it. Go home today and Google baby laughing. I don't really care what you find. Probably remember for just a moment. Can you remember, if your parents hear your child, when maybe you were sitting them in the high chair? Do they still use high chairs anymore? I don't know what we use now. I'm getting old. I'll have to. But when I had high chair, I can remember all three of my daughters. We used the same high chair for all three of them. And I remember some, I can't remember all the details, but one of them had to do with Cheerios. You know Cheerios, that staple of babies? And something happened, and I remember when each one did, and they began for the first time to belly laugh. You ever heard your baby laugh for the first time? And you could do that same silly thing, whatever it was, and every time you did it, they would give you that response. They would just laugh. And when they laughed, you couldn't help but you felt joy, didn't you? You felt joy. You know what I'm saying? That was joy. Because you see, a mom and a dad and a child, they were built to bond. They were built, when they're in right relationship as they're supposed to be, they come together. And in that moment when they praise together, when the joy floods out of that little heart and that little life, and for the first time or one of the first times, that laugh comes, and it comes with such joy and with such passion and with such power, it moves our spirit. You and I were created to come today and laugh before the Lord. We were created to come into His presence. He watches us like a daddy or a mama watching their baby. And He receives joy when we find our joy in Him. That's what it's about. When we love earnestly, we learn to glorify God. And when we glorify God, we're in that holy moment. We can call it worship. We can call it praise. We can call it joy. But it is where we were created to be and what we were created to do. And that alone is where we find our fulfillment. Not in stuff. Not in people, not in passions of this earthly world, but in our Creator. Elizabeth Dole, you remember her, some of you, the North Carolina senator who also ran for president, made this important quote, I think. She said, "Life is not just a few years to spend on self-indulgence and career advancement. It is a privilege, a responsibility, and a stewardship to be lived according to a much higher calling." It's a pretty good quote. It's a pretty good insight. If this world is all there is, you're just one accident away. You're just one bad decision away. You're just one bad luck away from being a loser. And let's don't sugarcoat it. If this is all there is, there are winners and there are losers. If this is all there is and you're not succeeding, you're a loser. If this is all there is. And your life, it can be judged by how successful you are. If this is all there is. And you need to be doing all you can, however you can, as long as you can, and as hard as you can to get ahead in this world any way you can. If this is all there is. And brothers and sisters, some of us are living our life as though this is all there is. But if God's word is right, and by the way, I think it is. And if our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was right, and by the way, I believe He was and is. And if you and I were created to enter into this kind of relationship, even when we're living and the end of all things is at hand, as our text said this morning, then we are more than conquerors. Through Christ Jesus, who gives us the victory. If it is, listen again. If this world is all there is, then you're just one accident away, one bad decision, one piece of bad luck away from being a loser. But if it is about our walk with God, then we're already an eternal winner. We're already an eternal winner. We can say with Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Hence is laid up for me a treasure in heaven. Our youth will be teaching Sunday school in a couple of Sundays, and one quote in the Sunday school lesson, you can tell we've been working on it, can't you? It's going to be a Jim Elliot. It's a quote you probably have heard or seen, but it is at the very core of this message. And I started not to use it because I knew they were going to be using it in their Sunday school lessons. We'll use it in 2 weeks. His quote is this: he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Poke somebody next to you. Make sure everybody's awake. It's a little warm in here. I'm going to read that again. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep. What's your car going to do you in 100 years from now? In case you're not sure, let me tell you, it's going to do you absolutely nothing. Okay? Just so we're clear. Your house, your bank account, your investments, your portfolio, your wealth. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Jim Elliot said that. He was raised in Portland, Oregon, Elliot was. He gave his life. He studied at Wheaton College. There was a call to go and carry the message to the tribes of the Ancas in Ecuador. Listen to what he said. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. You see, when he was 29, on January the 8th, 1956, at age 29, he and two others were killed because there was a tribe of the Ancas who had said they would kill anybody who came into their territory. Listen to what he said. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Jim Elliot, 1956, almost 60 years ago. And yet we're quoting him. We're remembering him because he was no fool. He died at age 29, but he was no fool. Was he a loser or a winner? It depends on your understanding of stewardship, doesn't it? It depends on your understanding of stewardship. Today, I wonder if the Holy Spirit might be asking us, are there some things we need to change about our stewardship habits? Do we need to add some? Maybe it's prayer. Maybe it's Bible study. Maybe it's service. Maybe it's church attendance. Maybe it's, I'll leave the Holy Spirit. You understand where we're trying to listen. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied graces, of God's varied graces. I could add a fourth point, but I won't. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything, God may be glorified. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Oh, my goodness, your love. Ooh, your love. It changes everything. Heavenly Father, you know every need. You know how we might have stronger homes if we would be a better steward. How we'd be a stronger church if we'd be better stewards. How we'd be a better witness if we'd be better stewards. How we would be more in love with you if we'd be better stewards. And Lord, we come today to also say thank you for those things you've taught us by being good stewards, where we've been faithful, where we have seen you being faithful in our faithfulness. And so, God, in this moment of decision, in this moment of examination of what kind of disciple am I? What kind of disciple am I? Would you help us to look at our habit of stewardship? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn and our hymn of decision is The Footsteps of Jesus, page 483. My goodness, what a tremendous hymn. As you sing that hymn, look at those words. And may each of us, before we leave the building, to be a good disciple, simply commit to follow those footsteps as we stand together. Again, remember those that are traveling back from different retreats this week from our church. There's information about our wild game dinner on the end here. If you can remember that, we would certainly appreciate you inviting, especially those who love to hunt and fish, and especially those who may not know the Lord as their Lord and Savior who love to hunt and fish, to come and be a part of that night with us. And we look forward to that. There's information there about it. We're asking folks who can bring... and it's probably time right now that if you'll keep it in the refrigerator, roadkill will be all right now, okay? But keep it refrigerated. That's important. That's important. I don't know why I keep doing that mess. Anyway, but if you could help us with desserts, or if you are going to bring a wild game dinner, if you'd sign up so we'll know what we've got coming. We're looking forward to a good time. Other announcements are in the bulletin. I hope you'll read them and be involved. And now as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His good steward people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? God, go with us from this place. Would you allow your footprints to go before us? And may we step in each one. In Christ's name.
Jesus' footprints.